We are at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center as we prepare for another beautiful week of Giants training camp action. Hi again, everybody. I'm Paul Dottino, along with former Giants punter Jeff Fiegels, as we look at some of the battles that have gone on the practice field today. We'll also take a very special look at a Giants coach who's headed to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But as I already mentioned, we are 1 week into the books here at training camp. And Jeff, the agenda kind of changes a bit when you begin week two, doesn't it?
It does. You know, the first week, you're kind of getting into the routine of things. The guys are getting in their playbooks. I think after a week, the team starts to put in some more situational plays. They start to put in a little more blitz packages. And for one thing about the players, what they have to understand after that first week is you have to cut down on the mental errors, and you got to get in that playbook.
The one thing Tom Coughlin's paying very careful attention to are the injuries. Really, no changes in the last 24 hours. Akeem Nicks and Corey Webster nursing slight groin problems. And Justin Pugh has a concussion issue, so he's not going to be practicing for several days. Now, as far as the defensive line battle is concerned, because you guys have heard a lot about that over the course of the first week, you've got Cullen Jenkins, who over the last 2 days at practice, Jeff, has been playing a lot of defensive end, and Sean Rogers has been taking some first-team snaps at defensive tackle.
Well, I think the Giants are doing a little experiment here with Cullen Jenkins. 14 and a half sacks in 3 years. They know he can rush the passer. Putting him out of defensive end gives them the opportunity to have Sean Rogers on the field at the same time, where normally those guys are on the same field at the same time. And, you know, you go with an established veteran. He's a pro's pro, and he's certainly going to, I believe, I don't know if he'll be out there, Paul. I think they're experimenting with it, but we'll see.
That's 25 years of NFL experience between the two of them, and an awful lot of beef as well. Now, on the other side of the ball, we've seen a lot of work at practice with the Giants inside the red zone as they try to create some difficult situations for opposing defenses.
Well, we all know what the Giants can do with Victor Cruz down in the red zone, but with the addition of Brandon Myers, he's able to bring 79 catches from the Oakland Raiders, what he did last year. They want to mix it up a little bit and give more options for Eli down there. A person like Adrian Robinson, tall, big target like Boss, gives him more options down there.
Now, of course, on the other side, when the Giants are in their own red zone trying to defend people, they've got to have things shored up in the secondary. And that's one of the reasons why Sam Madison is here. He's in a 3-week coaching deal as he tries to coach up some of these folks. Tom Coughlin's glad he's around.
Good to have Sam around. Sam's good, very good medicine. Sam, you know, was like that as a player when he was here with us. You know, he was working and he was coaching, and he did a nice job in that capacity. Did a good job with all the young corners then, and the guys seemed to respond and like the fact that he's here right now.
To have him back and to have him, you know, not on the field, you know, he can see everything now, you know what I mean? It's harder when he's on the field, when you're trying to get himself better, but now he's on the side watching. He can critique, be very critical, and I use it for constructive criticism, you know what I mean? It's ultimately to make my game better.
And if you come out to practice, one thing for sure, you will hear Sam Madison. He is very vocal. He also happened to be a teammate of yours on Super Bowl 42.
A great teammate and a great leader. What Sam brings to the field and with these players is teaching them leadership, technique. He's like he was a coach on the field when he played, and now he's on the sideline, can see a little bit more what's going on and really helping the young guys become a pro.
Yeah, it's always great to see Sam. That smiling face just lights up the field wherever he goes. Hey, when we come back, we're going to take a look at the battles at running back and at linebacker. That's when Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess, returns after this.
It's time for today's Giants Training Camp Play of the Day. Eli Manning looking for Lewis Murphy Jr. on the fade, but Prince Amukamara, persistence personified, knocks the ball away not once, but twice. That's today's New York Giants Training Camp Play of the Day.
Welcome back to Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess. One of the great battles here during summer camp has been at the Giants running back spot. Andre Brown, he's been in the NFL for 5 years. He's never played more than 10 games in any one individual season. But he says he's ready to carry the load this year.
We have to work on our conditioning. Coach Coach Ingram made sure that we, you know, he says we're going to get a lot of carries. It's a lot different. You know, we have to increase our conditioning and make sure that we are ready to go into them 15, you know, 20 play drives where, you know, he don't want to see us tapping our helmet and ready to come out, because if the guy's hot, he wants that, you know, keep the offense moving. So just making sure that we're in shape and being able to carry the load.
Now, you know, Andre Brown's partner in the backfield is last year's first round pick, David Wilson. Now, Jeff, how do you see these guys splitting up their carries?
Well, I think that they're going to get, both of them are going to get enough carries in the season. But for the most part, I think that Andre Brown will be a better second and third down player, be able to pick up the blitzes and block a little bit better than David Wilson. And David Wilson, with his speed, maybe on first and second down, he gets a little more of the shares of the carries on that, because he has that explosiveness to get outside. And we saw it a little bit last year. And I think the Giants are really lucky to have two young running backs like these guys.
So maybe in a perfect world, these guys will split the carries. But, Jeff, how might you envision a situation where Brown might be in there for several plays or series at a time?
Well, I think, you know, he's bigger than David Wilson. He blocks better. Last year in the red zone, he had 8 touchdowns. So you get some production out of him there. He's also a very tough runner if they have to have some short yardage situations where you need to get a first down. And, you know, he just brings a lot of experience a little bit down there in the red zone. Those 8 touchdowns, that's quite a statistic for the Giants offense.
Yeah, that's a good number for Tom Coughlin, but he's also got to find a third running back. There's Ryan Terrain here, there's Michael Cox here, and there's also Darrell Scott. Are one of these guys going to seize that third running back spot, or maybe could it be somebody else?
It could be somebody else, Paul. I think that of those players you just said, one of them are going to have to identify themselves as a special teams player to earn that roster spot.
All right, now on the other side of the ball, the Giants have a bunch of young guys trying to fit into this defense. One of them is a pretty athletic linebacker. He had a chance to chat with John Schmelk.
Well, thanks, Paul. And now we're joined by Giants linebacker Spencer Paysinger. Spencer, you're part of a very fierce linebacker battle. Every spot's up for grabs. What did the coaching staff tell you guys when you got to camp about the battle that's taking place at linebacker?
They just told us, like you said, every spot's open right now. But to take the pressure off, just make sure every linebacker knows their job, that you don't have to shortchange another linebacker in terms of getting information or receiving information, that if we all go out there and show that we can do, just make it hard on the coaches to decide who's the top 3 linebackers.
Well, we've had a week of practice. How do you think you've done so far?
I think I've done well. Deflected a couple passes, had some great reads on some runs, and just overall learning the playbook, getting the playbook down. I feel like I've done a really good job this first week, so going into the second week, just trying to keep that going.
Now, you're one of the great stories. You come in as an undrafted free agent, and you've worked your way to the point now where you're on the first team in practice. How did that go? How did you do it? Where have you gotten better to the point where you've achieved that, where you're number one on the depth chart?
It's just trusting the progression. Knowing 2 years ago I came in as an unknown from Oregon, and just working my way, taking the little things serious in terms of playing well on special teams my first year, my second year really coming into my own on special teams, and towards the end of last year getting more defensive snaps and just getting the trust of the coaches. That's the biggest thing, because if you don't know the playbook, if you don't know what you're doing out there, you're not going to have the trust of the coaches. And that's the biggest thing right now, is just getting the trust of the coaches and knowing that when you step on that field, you'll do the right thing.
Coach Herman mentioned physically you're also a lot more prepared for an NFL first and second down type of responsibility than you when you first came into the league.
Yes, I came into the league about 235, 236. Now I'm hovering around 244, 245. So I put on some good weight. I don't think I've lost a step for the most part. And just eating right, changing my diet a little bit. Actually, I got into yoga. And it's been really good for my career so far.
I know you mentioned special teams. Obviously, all the young guys have to do special teams. Can you explain how important it is for a young player like you are trying to make the team a couple years ago to be a factor on special teams?
Actually, a good story. I was telling our young linebacker Bino. He was asking me how did I make the team the first year, and I said the first thing I said was special teams, because you're coming in as an undrafted player. The team has no investment in you. So what you want to do is try to do the little things on special teams to make them want you on the team. My first year coming in, I wasn't on any depth charts on special teams. I talked to Coach Quinn and said, hey, the things that you're trying to teach these older guys to do, I know how to do it. I was a 4-year starter on special teams at Oregon. Just give me a shot. And like I said, it just goes back to the little things in terms of hand placement, foot placement, and just knowing what to do on the field.
Spencer, best of luck. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Paul, back to you.
Spencer Paysinger is running with the Giants' first team right now, ahead of Jaquan Williams at weak side linebacker. But, Jeff, in the last 2 days, we've seen something rather different from the two of them.
Yeah, I think Perry Fuel wants two very athletic, fast linebackers on the field in their nickel situations. And you look at Paysinger, he can get out in coverage. He's fast. He got his he came into the league as a special teams player, so he's got a knack for the ball getting around. And so it's very important because teams today are coming out with those two tight ends.
Right.
So you need two fast linebackers, coverage linebackers, that can get out on those guys, cover and make some tackles and possibly some interceptions, and those are the two guys that can do it.
Yeah, and seeing them both on the field at the same time is something we had not seen until yesterday for the first time. Very interesting. Hey, you know, we heard him talking about special teams, and every young player has to make a mark on special teams before he can grow into a regular standard set. He's a great example.
He's a great example. He led the team in special teams tackles last year. One important thing that these kids have to learn coming into the league, they may not be in college, they were probably the greatest players and one of the best players on their team, but when they step on the field as a rookie, they have to understand that the way that they're going to make their name is on special teams. So they've got to do something in camp and in special on special teams and in the games to make this team.
And obviously, a week from tonight, the Giants open the preseason in Pittsburgh at Heinz Field against the Steelers. Keeping it with special teams, a topic that Jeff likes very much, the Giants have a new veteran kicker in town. We'll hear from him when we come back on Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess, after this.
At Dylan Benjamin, 21S asks, what's the biggest lifestyle difference between when you were playing college ball versus playing in the NFL?
It's a job now. It's a career, and, I take it that way. It's very personal to me, and it's something I want to work forward to and be the best that I can be.
At Pika_5928S asks, how did it feel to finally get the call that you were drafted to the NFL?
I felt great. I was kind of surprised. The Giants were going to pick me up. But when they did, I was just really happy.
Oh, it was an awesome experience. It was surreal, and it was a real dream come true, and I'm very thankful to have it.
At Joseph_Laura1M asks, Michael, what's one part of your game that will excite Giants fans?
I think just my speed and my power and just ability to break tackles. I can catch the ball. It's my all-around game, I think, hopefully will excite people.
At Rugarel871M asks, guard Eric Herman, what can we Big Blue fans expect out of you this year?
I'm going to be a hard worker. I'm going to do all I can to make the team better. Do whatever I can do to make us succeed in that.
Welcome back to Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. And, we were talking about special teams before the break, and when I started to cover this league, there were multiple kickers and punters in training camp, and when Jeff started to play, ditto for you. But nowadays, the Giants have just one kicker and one punter here.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't understand that there is no second team guy, so the kicker and the punter, we back each other up when I played. And if you come out to camp or watch it on TV, you'll see balls flying through the air. A lot of times, it's the jugs machine, and that's the extra leg in camp.
Well, that's a very good thing to have because you don't want your kickers to burn out by the time you get to the middle of the season. The Giants are hoping that the new veteran kicker they have doesn't burn out. He's played with Seattle and St. Louis, among others. Don John Schmelk had a chance to chat with him.
Why, thanks, Paul. And now we're joined by Giants kicker Josh Brown. Josh, you've been here now for a few months with the Giants, offseason, now here in training camp. What's the difference between the Giants way and some other teams you've been with in the past?
They seem pretty diligent about the details, and that starts with Coach Coughlin. And that's been the reoccurring theme for me, as I pay attention to how he runs this building and how he runs the team and his expectations of the team. A lot of coaches have a lot of expectations, and everybody has their own way. He's really diligent about it, and he preaches that, be a man, be responsible, be accountable to your teammates. It's a family. Do it for the brotherhood. That's kind of the theme. And his attention to detail and his expectation of perfection is pretty heavy. The line you can't straddle here. You're gonna do it this way, and if not, then you can go somewhere else and do their stuff. But Tynes did a great job for 5 years, and I don't want to let that off for my individual purpose, because I think as a kicker I've done very well over 10 years that I have played, and also to continue the tradition that he has kept going on as well.
Final question, how would you judge your own performance so far at camp with the kicking you've done?
I think things are about as good as they've ever been for me, and so I'm trying just to be myself and not let anything go to the wayside. Just like Coach Coughlin, pay attention to the details, be in control of what you're trying to accomplish, and continue to get better every day. And after 11 years, you still can get better every day. And so far, everything has just fallen into place, and you know, we just want to stay diligent with that.
Josh, appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Paul, back to you.
And the Giants are hoping that Josh Brown can come up big in the postseason and hit a couple of clutch field goals like Lawrence Tynes did. Well, you know, with every kicker on a team, there's got to be a punter. Steve Weatherford has done an awful lot for Big Blue since he's been here. He succeeded the guy sitting to my right, Jeff Eagles. And, you know, it's more than just kicks with him. He brings a lot to this locker room.
He does. Yeah, I think I'm seeing a little bit more leadership out of him. And believe it or not, you can have some leadership out of the punting position. I wore that C with the star on there for a couple years. But what's nice about Steve is that he's very well-rounded in a sense that when he's backed up, he's going to be able to stretch the field for you on a big kick. When he needs to kick it out of bounds, if you're coming, you're up against a tremendous receiver or returner, he can kick it out of bounds. He's very, very good at putting that ball inside the 10. And from a defensive standpoint, your punter, you want him to be really, really good at that. Be able to have those other teams starting inside the 10-yard line is a great, great thing for the defense.
Okay, let's go to our Twitter question. It is from MarwanNY77. He wants to know, how much do you think David Wilson will do on kickoff returns? Jeff, that's a real enigma for the Giants right now.
Well, it is, and I think one of the problems that the Giants are going to have here is there isn't a lot of depth at the running back position. You hate to take David Wilson off the field, and what he did last year was tremendous, but I just don't see that they can afford to have him back there at a full-time kick return, and you know, if something happens, there's no depth there. So, you know, somebody's going to have to stand out here, and I see them using David Wilson in very, very situational stuff if they need a big return.
All right, Jeff. Hey, when we come back, we will follow the Giants on their charter flight to Canton for a very special Hall of Fame ceremony. So don't go away.
Well, there's so many things I can say about Bill Parcells, you know. First off, I wish I would have listened even more.
All right, we got to get something going here now.
Damn, we know it. Go.
Hey, Phil, I'll run the game.
I don't know who you're sending in.
I'm sending goal line in.
Well, somebody give me something. Okay. Nice. I ain't got time to
signal.
Make a call.
Phil, look, when we call the Y-Ted, that's who we're trying to throw to.
Don't
be too inventive, okay?
Okay, they took him. They're covering him.
I know. I saw
it. They're just going
over him the last time.
Yeah, yeah. Just, all right, I'll see what I'm doing.
All I can say is I'm so glad I had the experience to play for him. And there's never, I really mean it, there's never a day that goes by where I don't try to put some wisdom on somebody. And I quote him because I remember them all and because they're all so true.
Two-time Super Bowl winning head coach Bill Parcells, a Giant at heart, going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton this weekend. The Giants have a special charter flight with a bunch of personnel and front office people heading out there for the ceremony. Jeff, you were an opponent of Bill Parcells for several years. What is the one thing that always concerns you about going against one of the Tunis teams?
Well, you knew that they were always going to be very, very physical. Physical ball team coming in, they're it's just hard-nosed. They're always going to be very well prepared, and it always seemed to me that Bill Parcells always got the most out of his players, and he always put the fear of God in them that if you screwed up, you're going to get cut, and that's horrible as a player, but it really motivates you to be the best you can. And I'm very proud and very happy to see what happened, and he deserves the Hall of Fame.
You know, it says a lot about what he meant to this organization that the Giants actually moved practice up a little bit today so that they could get some of their personnel out to Canton tonight to see Bill. Let's hear from a couple of Bill's friends.
We do throw this great word around in common usage today, much, much too often. But Bill Parcells is a great football coach. It was just the way that he went about his business and the organization went about their business. The continuity, the winning, the high expectation level that put by Bill on his players and his ability to gauge right away whether it was championship quality or not, and his ability to communicate that in fluent New Jerseyan to his players.
Without a doubt, he is one of the all-time best coaches that has worked in this league. His unique style of coaching couldn't be duplicated. He inspired and motivated each individual player. That was his strength. He spent a lot of time in the locker room working on individual players. He wouldn't let anybody get too far off the main path of the team concept. And he wasn't interested in a whole lot of gadgets. He was a hardball, old-school football player. We were going to beat the heck out of everybody every week. We weren't going to finesse people. We weren't going to try to be frilly and, you know, all those kind of things. Everything for him was just about what football was intended to be from day one. It's a very physically violent game.
Indeed, Tom Coughlin and Mike Pope were assistants who worked under Bill Parcells on his Super Bowl Giants teams. Now, really, that's one of the great legacies that Bill Parcells leaves to the NFL. His coaching tree is rather large, Jeff.
Yeah, and I think one of the characteristics that makes Bill Parcells a Hall of Famer is look at what he has done for the coaches underneath him. And you look at the success that Coach Coughlin has had, Bill Belichick, Sean Payton, the list goes on and on. That is an ingredient that goes into a Hall of Fame coach and is certainly well-deserved.
Now, the Giants are so happy to have Bill Parcells going to Canton this year, but what about Michael Strahan? This year, he was bypassed. It was his first year of eligibility. I got a feeling, Jeff, he may make it next year.
Well, I hope he does because I think he belongs in there, and I just think that maybe the Hall of Fame committee didn't want two Giants going into the Hall of Fame in 1 year, so I hope that Michael's there next year. He certainly deserves it, and it'd be a great trip up there to see him.
And if Strahan goes in next year, there's a chance the Giants might be in the Hall of Fame game, and then that means five preseason games. I don't know. That can sometimes be a good thing and sometimes be a bad thing.
If you're a veteran player, it's a bad thing. If you don't want five preseason games, you don't want four. I think we would settle at two if we had our choice. But it's better for the younger guys. They obviously get a little bit more game time, and it's better for the coaches. They get to break them down a little bit more.
Well, seven folks are going into the class this year. Guys like Chris Carter and Larry Allen and Curly Culp and Jonathan Ogden. The list goes on and on. More people going into the Hall, and maybe someday Tom Coughlin will be too. Well, that about does it for Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess, right here from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. For Jeff Feagles, I'm Paul Totino, and our entire crew. We'll see you next time on Giants Training Camp Live.